the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to journey number 63 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring The Age-Old Question by Christopher Monroe. I am your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from base camp in Turner, Oregon. Well, I never really intended this, but it seems as if we're having an unofficial Christopher Monroe month for you. We just heard from Christopher a couple weeks ago for journey number 61. The Boy Who Could Bend and Fall by Ken Scholes, where Chris was the narrator and the producer of that story. Well, today we're featuring a story which Chris has written himself. And since we just talked about Christopher, you know, the same old stuff. He's an author, an actor, a comedian. He's from Calgary. He's been on several podcasts. He wrote a novel called Broken Escalator, and you can find that on Patio Books. All that stuff. But I think what might even be more fun is to just, you know, make stuff up about Chris. Things you haven't heard before. Christopher Monroe was stolen by gypsies at the age of 7 and trained to juggle operating lawnmowers. He escaped when he was 12 and hitchhiked from Toronto to Saskatoon, where he met up with Oscar Goldman and hunted Bigfoot for several years. But after a media scandal involving racy photos of him and Neve Campbell, he meandered over to Alberta and became a champion barrel racer in the Calgary Stampede. He's led quite an amazing life. This story is narrated for you today by Eric J. Blommel. We last heard from Eric in Journey Number 2, which was the first issue of Cyberpunk. Yes, I know, Issue 2 is coming soon. Eric is a counseling psychology graduate student. He's a big-time nerd, he's a sci-fi and fantasy fan, and a longtime computer geek. And he also recently became an aquaponics gardener. He also has a great voice, and I'm glad that Eric agreed to narrate this story for us today. And so now, why don't you come with me, and let's journey into time.
The Age-Old Question by Christopher Monroe. I remember it as though it were yesterday. I very nearly didn't ask, not least because it was an incredibly stupid question. I mean, it was impossible. I understood that it was impossible. And yet, I'd seen her. She had cat's hairstyle, certainly, and drove an identical car. But she was clearly a different woman. Like 50 years different. Her hair was gray-white, her hands hooked over the wheel, bony and withered, and her face was cragged by what appeared to have been a very full lifetime of experiences. Yet sunk into that face, surrounded by deep smile lines, were the eyes I'd fallen in love with. More tired, certainly, but still clearly the same eyes. She was stuck at a red light, and when she saw me, she seemed to look away, as though avoiding my gaze. I stared over at the waiting car, but the light changed before I arrived, and she sped away. Sped, by the way, was chosen very deliberately there, tires squealing and everything, as though she was trying to escape something that terrified her. As though she was trying to escape me? That made no sense. We'd never met. Why would she want to escape me? So I wondered. Then, realizing how stupid a thing to wonder it truly was, I stopped wondering, shook my head to clear it, and got on with my day. Because I'm a grown-up, And grown-ups get on with what they have to do, rather than standing around wondering incredibly stupid nonsense. Later, once my errands were run, I started to wonder again. I guess I'm not that grown-up after all. I let the question nag at me all afternoon, knowing how embarrassing it would be to ask out loud, yet needing to know the truth. I agonized over it, vacillating back and forth on whether to ask or not, and by the time Cat got home from work, I'd resolved not to. It really was unbelievably stupid, after all, both as a question and as something to spend a day obsessing over. So I would put it out of my mind. We'd open a bottle of wine and enjoy a relaxing evening together. So I had decided, and so it would be. Which is why I was surprised as anyone when the first words out of my mouth when she got home were, "Honey, could you come in here a minute? There's something I need to ask you." My face went red even as I was saying it. I couldn't believe what I was actually considering. But when she came in, blushing equally guilty and staring at the floor, my eyes went wide with shock. "Were you?" I stammered, suddenly certain she was. "Were you the woman? You were the woman?" It made absolutely no sense, yet I could tell before she even opened her mouth what her answer would be. And when she finally worked up the courage to look up into my eyes, she knew instantly that I knew. She put a finger to her lips to silence me, which was good because I was sounding dumber with each word I spoke, then silently walked to the kitchen fridge to grab herself a can of diet soda. When she returned, I was on the couch, still visibly shaken. She explained to me that, yes, she was occasionally an 80-year-old woman. She had the ability to use years from the end of her life at any time she chose to, and so she used them whenever she had a convenient opportunity. While driving, or evenings when I wasn't around and she didn't want to do much more than watch TV, or some other such trifling moments, she'd been doing it since she was in her teens, in order to get the years as an old person out of the way in as non-intrusive a way as possible. She explained that it was a skill she'd picked up from her grandfather, and that the first time she'd tried it, she immediately dropped dead of a massive stroke at the age of 87. She'd been dead for nearly 90 seconds before she snapped back to her natural age, and had been plagued by headaches for weeks afterwards. But, she added, when it was pointed out to her that, having died of a massive stroke already, she'd never have to worry about doing it again, she immediately understood the value of the gift she'd been given. Since then, she'd been getting the years at the end of her life out of the way however she could, and by her count, she'd managed to work her way back to somewhere around the age of 81, in the process saving herself 6 extra years of youth to be used at her leisure. Which seems insane. Because it is insane. Yet, I saw what I saw, and to be honest, she does look several years younger than me in spite of us being approximately the same age. I'd clocked it up to my smoking and her taking care of her skin, but if it was this, which of course it wasn't, because like I said, that's insane. She'd spun a good yarn, but really? She was dealing with aging by getting it out of the way? That's not even a thing. And hearing her say it out loud drove home this point such that it finally felt real. I was being silly. It was just a woman with a similar hairstyle and similar eyes driving a similar car. Cat happened to be somewhere nearby and had seen how I'd reacted to it and decided to use it as a well-deserved opportunity to troll me. It was funny in a way, but I was on to her and the joke was over. And I could have left it there. I honestly could have. I could have just laughed it off or said something along the lines of, "Oh, I see what you're doing. You're right. It was a stupid thing to ask." And then offered to order some takeout for dinner. I could have done any of a thousand things, and the matter would have been left. Basically, I could have done anything other than say what I wound up saying. Prove it. Which he then did. And there, faced with an 81-year-old version of the woman I loved, slightly stooped, wrinkled, and exhausted-looking, wheezing slightly as she breathed, apologetic that she'd never told me any of this before, it became impossible to deny. Also, impossible to understand. I sputtered and stammered, trying to force my fractured thoughts into something resembling a sentence, failing utterly to express my response to the totality of all I'd witnessed that day. Eventually, although it was woefully inadequate, I managed to get at least one word to squeak out of my paralyzed throat. Ow! And then, smiling, she showed me. So yeah, that's what happened to me yesterday. Weird, right? But I really do have to go. I get tired a lot more easily when I'm like this, and telling stories leaves me just a little out of breath. A lot out of breath. Not even doing anything strenuous, just telling a story, but it still leaves me out of breath. I really ought to quit smoking one of these days. Though, if the damage to my lungs is already there, does that mean I never will? It's a lot to figure out. But that's okay. Judging by the way I look right now, I'd say I have about 70 more years to get used to it.
Steel hair in a wheelchair, I'm living day by day. My mind is getting slower and my body is in decay. But Franny, you're still beautiful, just like the day we met. I still know that you're coming when I see your silhouette, your silhouette. My legs can't hold my body and my arms are both so weak. The kids brush me away like I'm a dusty old antique. But Franny, you still look at me like I am 25. You're still my blushing bride and that's what's keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Well, I ain't getting any younger, and Franny, you're older too. But I ain't lost my hunger, I am still the one who waits for you. And I'll be here from this day on, until they stick me in the lawn, yeah, I'll now trying to tell the world goodbye. Yesterday's so far away and tomorrow's all a lie. So Franny, take my hand and let's go live another day. It might not be our last, but it's a step along the way, along the way. Well, I ain't getting any younger, and Franny, you're older too. But I ain't lost my hunger, I'm still the one who waits for you. And I'll be here from this day on, until they stick us in the lawn. Yeah, I'll be here.
I really enjoyed that story. I enjoyed the relationship between the couple in the story. And I thought it was quite a unique take on time travel. One that I hadn't heard of before.
And I really like that song
by Josh Woodward. The name of the song is Franny. But I kind of ruined it for myself by using the instrumental version of that song as a background for the Beech Nut Chewing Tobacco commercial that Big and Rich did in the voices of William Shatner and Casey Kasem. So whenever I hear that tune, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. I do like that song. It's kind of a sweet song about an old couple, and I thought it went really well with this story. And that's really what I like about time travel stories, because you can tell them in various different ways. And I could spend hours and hours talking about things I like about time travel stories and movies and books and television shows. But I really like it, as in this story, when it becomes personal. It kind of makes it a more meaningful story for the characters. Similar stories in this vein, I would include The Time Traveler's Wife, which I haven't read the book, but I've seen the movie, and I enjoyed that. In a strange way, I guess you could also say The Curious Case of Benjamin Buttons, and a person who lived his life backwards. And also, another favorite would be Groundhog Day, where Bill Murray continues to live the same day over and over again until he truly changes his character and becomes a better person and learns stuff about himself and the world in a way that nobody else could. Great movie. Funny and insightful. I've also been enjoying going back and watching Doctor Who on Netflix, and I'm totally into the adventures of the Doctor and his various companions. I'm only into season 2 right now, but definitely enjoying it. I'm also listening to the audiobook of Blackout by Connie Willis, which is, I believe, the third book in which she's chronicled the events of British historians who have the ability to go back and study history actively by going back in time and viewing the events. And these Connie Willis books are really, really good. She does a lot of research, and she really knows the history that she's talking about. The first book that I read was Doomsday Book, which is about the Middle Ages and the Black Death, and it really is an insightful and exciting story to read. She also puts a lot of humor and realistic personal interactions between the characters and the hectic situations that can occur. Some of it's kind of anachronistic because these historians are from the future, like in the year 2060. And so, of course, one of the biggest new technologies is the ability to time travel. But it was written before cell phones became a big thing. And so there's parts of the story where somebody is waiting by the phone in order to talk to somebody. It's a video phone, so that's futuristic. But they're still having to sit and wait at a stationary phone instead of just waiting to be called on their cell phone or calling somebody from wherever they're at. And so that's kind of fun as well. I actually like that when there's anachronistic elements in a time travel story. The second book that I read is by Connie Willis was To Say Nothing of the Dog. That was a really fun book. It was less serious than Doomsday Book, and it was a lot of fun, and there was mystery and a love story and a lot of fun around that. And the book I'm reading now, Blackout, and then a sequel to that is All Clear, is all about the London Blitz in World War II. And I'm not even a third of the way through it. And again, it's a really good series of books, and Connie Willis does a really good job. I really enjoy her writing. I'd love to get a story of hers on the podcast. Over Christmas, my wife and I read a Christmas story of hers that was really good, very entertaining, and I'd love to get that on the podcast, but I haven't found a way to contact her yet. Anyway, you know, time travel, again, I could go hours and hours. There's the very entertaining Back to the Future series. There's very serious pictures like 12 Monkeys. There's the Wrinkle in Time books, and there's Michael Crichton wrote a book called Timeline, which is very good. The movie's terrible, but the book is very good. Of course, there's always H.G. Wells and The Time Machine. I could go into detail about each of these, but I'm trying to limit myself and keep this commentary short so I can get this story out. But I enjoyed this story by Chris Munro, and I enjoyed his take on time travel. And I also want you to know that Chris submitted this story to the submissions email. And I haven't talked about that a lot lately, but if you would like to submit a story to the podcast, you can send your story of 2,200 words or less to journeyintosubs, that's journeyintosubs, @gmail.com. And I can't guarantee it's going to be on the podcast, but I will definitely read it and consider it. If you'd like to comment on this story or any other stories, or just let us know your opinion of the show or give us any suggestions, you can always go join the forums, which are at journeyinto.freeforums.org. And if you'd like to donate to the podcast, you can also go to journeyintopodcast.blogspot.com. I would definitely put it to good use for the podcast. If you can't donate to the podcast, I would encourage you, and I haven't done this a lot, but I would encourage you to talk about the podcast, to blog about it, or to go to iTunes and write a review for it. There are a couple of reviews in there, and I was definitely pleased to see those. But I've never really asked for that, and maybe I should. You can also like the Journey Into podcast on Facebook, and you can follow the podcast on Twitter @JourneyInto. I hope you have a fantastic week, and I'll talk to you later. Until then, be safe out there, and journey on.
Well, well, well. This is fake Sean Connery from the truly awful podcast that dares not speak its name.
Hey!
And I've come before you to tell you a thing or two. First, bald is beautiful. Second, the Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Third, there is only one James Bond, and his name isn't Daniel Craig. Fourth, you cannot change the Journey Into podcast files, nor sell them, but you are welcome to share them and play them over and over again until your ears look like George Lazenby's nose. Fifth, be kind to your pets, or they will eat you when you die. And last, the Journey Into theme music has been provided by Man in Space. Have a good day, and never bring a knife to a gunfight. Thank you.